about God's fatherhood this morning, and this is a precious, precious topic, really, because I don't know if you ever just love the Father. You ever just wake up and you're just in love with God? That's me today. Isn't that good? Because I've had a big couple of days and I should have woken up thinking, oh, I'm sore and I'm tired. We've been in Brisbane moving furniture and houses for our daughters and selling caravans for other daughters and son-in-law, and we've been doing achieving a lot. And but do you know, when you know the love of the Father and when you're in love with Him, it's good, isn't it? Isn't it good? Yeah. Okay. Look, there's lots of Bible verses. There's lots of Bible verses. And do you know in John 12, it talks about God as Father. And Jesus says a couple of things in verse 44, John 12, 44. He says, "Then Jesus cried out, 'When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but the one who sent me.'" That's the Father. "When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me." In other words, when you see Jesus, you understand who he is, you understand the Father. He said in verse 49, "I do not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say and how to say it. I know this command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." He's got such a beautiful, intimate relationship with the Father. He says that sometimes if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Or he says, "I and the Father are one." So that's talking about Jesus. But then he says, "When you pray, pray our Father." Now, I tell you, it is the richest and most beautiful thing. Now, understand this. I'm not talking about words. You can't, if you don't know the Father, go home and say, "Oh, Father," and think, "Oh, this is good," because it's just words. We're talking about an intimacy of a knowledge of a relationship with the Father. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray that today, by your Holy Spirit, you would come amongst us, and that you would just fill us with the knowledge of your fatherhood, that we would just walk out of this place so excited that every day and every hour we would just be full of the knowledge that you're our Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been defined as a church this week in different ways, and that's cool. A little bit, well, I hope you can see the joke in it. And other people can define us how they like. But who are we as a church? Well, we could say we're a family. And that's a buzzword for churches. We're a church family. But it's more than that. We're not just a family as if we're related to each other. Our familyhood comes from the Father. We are the Father's family. Because, you see, that's what ties us together. It's really important to know that, okay? Because we've actually, very interestingly enough, we've had a number of people say of us as a church. Now, I don't mean a denomination. I don't mean a building. I mean, as a church, these people, we know them. That's what people have been saying because, you know, we've been defined as something. They're saying, "These people are lovely people." You heard, we've been told that. Isn't that cool? These are people we trust and know. We don't believe that. Isn't that good? Why? Because we've loved people. Because of generosity and compassion, which has not come from us. It's come from the Father who's living out his will through us as a group of people. I'm actually excited about that. It's been actually a blessing. I'm really excited. Okay. Because we know the Father, we know we are loved by Him. And when we know we're loved by Him, we can love others. And He pours His Spirit into us again and again, and we go on loving. And so I want to stand here before you and say something just wonderful this morning. And I don't say this to bring any glory to myself, but I love the Father. I do. And I tell you, if you can say that from your heart, you've got the richest thing ever. Now, when you know that you are a son or a daughter of the Father, When the Spirit wells up in us, and I'm going to read these verses later, one of the things that most happens in us is that when the Bible describes being filled with the Spirit and crying out, Father, it talks about being set free from slavery and fear. When you know the Father, you are set free. So why would we call him the Father, not just God? God's very impersonal, isn't it? Yeah? I went to Brisbane with Jody and we helped Gail out as Gail shifted house. Gail we know. Yep. No, actually it was, I could say, my daughter who I love, who is precious to me, it's a pleasure to spend time with. Oh, and by the way, we helped shift furniture. That's actually a different thing, isn't it? Because we know the Father. We don't know God. Which God's that? We know him personally. We know him intimately, don't we? He is our Father. He's not just God. He is caring and he is loving and he is strong and he is firm and he disciplines and he encourages and he builds up and he basically seems to think that it's a great thing to spend all his time serving and loving his children. Isn't that cool? What a God we have. Because he's our Father. Okay, so this section that I'm about to go through, a heap of stuff here, and I think you're going to put some stuff up, and there's a piece of paper around the corner, because I was just excited about this, a piece of paper you can take home with you, and this is, what is a father, and what do we receive from the Father? What do we receive from the Father? And this is a very inexhaustive list, but just some thoughts from me. And the first one is quite simply, we receive our identity from the Father. Who we are. Who am I? I am a son of the Father. That's who I am. You can call me what you like, but I'm a son of the Father. It doesn't stick. What you call me. Thank you, Amory. Don't do it now. But I'm a son of the Father. We receive our security from knowing he's our Father, our peace in life, our certainty, our assurance. We are on solid ground when we know the Father. Isn't that good? We should be yippeeing for all this stuff, I reckon. We receive all we need from the Father because he gives our daily bread, our sustenance. The strength we need to shift furniture comes from the Father. Do you know that? But far more than that, the strength we need in our minds to when we attack, when things go on in life, he gives us all that we need day by day, hour by hour, and he is giving it. He loves to give it to his children. Isn't that good? We receive, oh, by the way, Ben, I've done it the other way around. I'm sorry, you said you got to do the negative then the positive. I'm going to go positive and negative just because everyone knows I need to give a negative. It's just, you know. But anyway, we'll get there in a minute. Okay. We receive our character from the Father, what we are like, because he gives us his DNA. He gives us a character of love, joy, peace. That's what the Spirit's like. That's what God's like, and he gives it to us. It becomes our nature. We receive love from the Father because it's our most basic need is to be loved, isn't it? We need to be loved and he loves us. He loves on us, people say in modern times. He loves on us. He pours out his love. He loves us up, as Craig would say. And we know that we're loved. When we know our Father, we receive a purpose for life. That goes from identity is who we are, but the purpose is what we live out. We know what our life and times is about. We know we have a story. We have a vocation. We have a job. We got problems with the... That's small. Yeah. Actually... Sorry, today it's brought to you by Joe's Optometry Services. If you can't read that, then you need to see Joe. Okay. We have a purpose for our work and our life. We need that, don't we? It comes from the Father. Next, we have a community identity. And the way we relate to each other, we are sons and daughters. That means we are brothers and sisters. And we relate to each other. He gives us this identity and he ties us together. And the way we live in relationship with each other is defined by him and it comes from him. And it's an awesome way to live. We need to receive from him forgiveness to live in that, don't we? If we're going to live in relationship with each other. And the Father has provided his Son to take away our sins that we may know him perfectly as a Father, so that we may know our brothers and sisters perfectly, and that we may love those who are outside perfectly. Outside of the body. Do you understand what I'm saying? He gives us forgiveness. We receive from him a promise of a future. That means hope. An eternal future, an eternal hope based around a perfect relationship with him. Isn't that good? Do you see what the Father's giving us? This is what Paul describes. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm is showered upon us. This is the stuff we need in our life. We receive from him truth. Truth, not fact. Truth, which is fact. Something we can rely upon. And you see, God's truth never changes. And it's not a lie. And we receive from him worship. Someone to worship. Because you know that in the heart of every human being on this world is a desire to worship something. But all of the other worship is, well, it doesn't pay off. But worship for him. When we're worshiping him, we don't need anything else. So we receive from him our perfection. That is our completion, fullness, the delights of our heart. Can you see what I'm saying? God the Father loves to shower his blessing. And did you notice that all through that, it has us receiving. We receive from him and he gives to us. Isn't that good? Because you see, if there's anyone here who's a father, do you want to understand what the heart of fatherhood is? It's giving. It's giving. Giving good gifts, isn't it? And the Father gives so much good to us. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And the Father delights to give to us. And we long for these. It's the greatest desires of our heart. And only the Father can give them to us. And that is the foundation for our lives. Now that's good, isn't it? Now, a question that often asked, this is just a little tangent, people say, but what if we've had an imperfect father? As so many people have had. There's abusive fathers and there's horrible fathers. Should we talk, is it right, people say, is it right to talk about God as father like that? Well, you see, human fatherhood reflects in a small way and sometimes a very dim way the perfect father. It's not the other way around. God is a perfect father. So we can't get our definition for fatherhood from looking at human fathers. It comes from God himself, and he's perfect. And when we know him, then we can understand what fatherhood is like. Now, actually, strangely enough, people who have had bad fathers often can understand God's fatherhood better than people who have had good fathers, because good fathers fall short. And God's, but people who have had bad fathers know, I know there's something better. I know there's something better than what I got. And it's God the Father. He's the answer. And I tell the story once in our youth group years ago. We had a girl and she had been abandoned by her father when she was 1 year old. He was an alcoholic and she basically didn't know him. And we took her to a youth camp and one of the talks at this youth camp was about God as your father. And you know, you sit there thinking, oh, she's going to struggle with this because her father's a mongrel. And she came out of it and went, oh, I'm so happy. I've got a father. My father was, you know, terrible to me, but I know I've got one who loves me and his love won't be taken away. Isn't that cool? Because God's our perfect father. Far and above anything we could imagine. Okay, there is a negative side to this, and Jesus speaks about it in Matthew 23:9. He says, "Do not call anyone on earth Father, for you have one Father, and he is in heaven." Now, what's he mean by that? Another time in John 8:44, he says, "You belong," that he's talking to the Pharisees here, "to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He's a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him." What it's saying here is, you see, these what the devil seeks to do and the world seeks to do and also the sinful nature is to replace God's fatherhood with some other lesser form of father, with something that's not good. And so what the world wants to really tear down the understanding of good fatherhood. Okay. But what happens is, if we receive, now I'm going through that same list, if we receive our identity from anyone else but the Father, we'll end up confused and frustrated and guilty and maybe even suicidal, because our identity comes from the Father. And if we receive our security from anyone else or anything else but the Father, we will have no peace. We will end up insecure. That's what insecure people are like, because you see, knowing the Father, you've got security. And if we seek our daily bread or all that we need for life from anywhere else, we will end up in poverty, even if we've got everything. We'll be poverty. We'll be in poverty of spirit, because we will always want more, because we'll think that more daily bread, more possessions will do it. But all the world could offer can't replace the daily bread of the Father. If we receive our character from anyone else but the Father, we'll end up violent and abusive, because that's the character of everybody else but God. Outside of God, self-centred in every way. Do you understand? Without the work of His Spirit, that's what we become. If we look for love from anyone else, we'll always be trying to prove ourselves, trying to show off, trying to earn love, which you can't do. Obviously, we don't receive our purpose for life. Otherwise, we will end up with Solomon crying out, "Meaningless. It's all pointless." Because we need the Father, and then we need His purpose. And if we try to seek a community identity without the Father, well, we'll all have a cause. And we're going to need to save the planet, people. Work harder. Never hear anyone say about saving the planet, do we? Yeah. Because we don't know the Father. And forgiveness without the Father is conditional and useless, as infighting, self-righteousness, jealousy, hatred. There's no truth. We can't receive truth from anyone but the Father. And if we worship without the Father, it's all idolatry. What I'm saying is this. Everything we need for life, for our personhood, for us to be full human beings, comes from God the Father. And it's a beautiful thing when it comes from Him, and it's a horrible, empty, frustrating, guilty thing when it comes from anyone else. Does that make sense to you? You're getting that. Father is so good. The Holy Spirit brings... we're back to positive again now. Yay! Sorry to take you through that. The Holy Spirit brings us the fullness of the Father. The Holy Spirit brings us a knowledge of the Father, brings us a knowledge of what Jesus has done for us. He brings us a knowledge that we're restored, that we can know Him, that we're known by Him. The Holy Spirit brings us the greatest gift ever. We cry, "Abba, Father." That's the greatest gift ever. If you want to have fullness in life, to be able to cry out to God, "Oh, Father," there is no greater gift. You do not need anything else in this world. Do you understand this? That is the sign, and I've said it before, of the Spirit-filled Christian. Not to be able to say the word Father, anybody can do that. But to know the Father, that comes from the Holy Spirit. So in Romans 8:14, Paul says, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." So you hear that? When you've got the Spirit, you're not in slavery, you're not in fear, because you are a son or a daughter of the Father. And by Him we cry, that's by the Spirit we cry, Abba Father, and we know it in the depths of our being. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Can you see that? The Spirit pours on us the knowledge. Another place is Galatians 4, 3. When we were children, that means we were in slavery under the basic principles of this world. What he's saying is, when you lived under the world's fatherhood, when you lived in all those negative ways I said, you were in slavery. What I'm saying is, when people don't know God as Father, they're in slavery and fear. And they try a whole lifetime of habits to break out of that. But to know the true Father is the best thing. That's all we need to set us free from slavery, which is painted as freedom, but it's not. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. In other words, we'd be heirs. We receive it. This is a good bit about everything I'm saying. Can you see? The Father gives, we receive. Yeah. Receive. What I'm saying is, He is giving. Receive. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. Now, that's two of the verses in the Bible where it says Abba. Do you know the third one where the word Abba is used? It's where Jesus is in the garden praying in His time of greatest need. Abba, Father. When you're in your time of greatest need, you have a Father to go to, and you cry out with the depths of your being, and you'll have everything you need. Because when you've got a Father, you've got everything. And if you haven't got Him, you'll always be searching. So, Paul says, you're no longer a slave, but you're a son or a daughter. And since you are, God has made you an heir. He has given you everything. Formerly, when you did not know this, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. That's all that other stuff. But now that you know God, or rather that you're known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Don't go back to the weak and miserable principles. Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Don't go back. For freedom, he's going to go on and say, for freedom you've been set free. In other words, God has given you everything for freedom by the Father. He's poured the whole lot on you. It is yours. You have got $1 billion in your bank account of spiritual blessings, and he's given you the key card, and you can access it anytime you like, and then you sit at home and you don't do it. Don't be silly people. You understand what I'm saying? Live with all the fullness. And where does it start? It starts by saying, Father. And it ends by that as well, and everything in between. Feast on Him, receive from Him, and receive from Him alone. And you'll receive good things. He will go to incredible lengths for you. Do you understand that? How are we going? Is everyone getting tired? I would just tell you one more story. I've told it before. It's about a lady called Frieda, who's probably still alive, but maybe not. This is about the lengths God goes. She's a bit strange. She's a Queenslander. She first turned up at our church in Wakery, which is South Australia, down in the good country. And she said she'd had a vision from God. She'd been in Queensland, and God put this word in her head, Wakery. And she didn't even know what it was. And she talked to a daughter, and the daughter said, there's a place in South Australia called Wakery. And she said, right, I'm moving there. Frieda was about 78 when she moved there. She was an old lady. She sold her house, and she bought a house in Wakery. And she had a view that she was going to set up a house church, and God was going to do great things for her. That's what the vision she'd been given. And so down she came, and she started coming on the church, and she's very excited, and yeah, she was cool. And then we came to a point where I did a series for 6 weeks, actually, on God's fatherhood. And during that, she came along the first week, listened to the sermon, and we had Bible studies and all sorts of stuff to go along with it. And after the service, she came up to me and she says, "I won't be coming the next 5 weeks." And why is that? "Oh, my father, well, you know, he did this to me, he did that to me, he was..." And I said, "Oh, you know..." And I said what I said before, you've got to get your definition of fatherhood from God, not from human. I said, just see if you can stick with it. Just see if you can come along. Come to Bible studies and just see what the Spirit might do in you. Now, that sounds like pastor abuse. Well, it doesn't want to say that, except for the next 5 weeks, she came along to church diligently and sobbed through the services. And I was thinking, what are you? And at the end of it, she came to me and she said, "God gave me a revelation last night." I said, "What's that?" "I should honour my father." It says, "Honour your father and mother." That's what the Bible says. She said, "And I realised that I can't think of a single thing to honour my father about it except this." She said, "He gave me life. If I didn't have that father, I wouldn't be here. So I'm going to honour him because he is my genetic father, basically. And I'm happy." Right. And she was happy. And then very soon after that, she decided that it was time for her to sell up her house and leave and go back to Queensland to be where her family was. I think by now she's about 82. And I said to her, as sort of the time came for her to leave, I said, "Do you feel disappointed that, you know, you wanted to set up, you felt God was bringing a big ministry for you and it just didn't happen?" She said, "Oh, no, 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 none of that." She said, "The reason God sent me to South Australia was to find out that he was my father." That's incredible lengths that she went through, but she was set free by the revelation that she had a father. Isn't that cool? God would kind of like leave 99 behind to chase down that one. He goes all at it because he loves you and he wants you to know, hear this today, you people, you are his children. He loves you as a father. He wants you to know that and he wants you to receive the blessings that he's got for you. So receive them. Don't be miserable, Paul says. Receive. Father, we just want to give you thanks for who you are. We want to honour you and we want to say to you this morning, we love you. You are everything to us. And Father, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on us that we might receive from you. And Father, we just ask for those blessings, the knowledge of security and peace, joy and love and all those things, our identity, our purpose. Pour it all on us, Father, that we might know all of the fullness that comes from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.